My name is Rachel Rofe. I created this show because I wanted to help you see that if you have a choice, you can choose a better life. If you're listening to this podcast, you're in a pretty fortunate position. You have free will, ability to connect to the internet, and access to all kinds of new education. This podcast is meant to help you make the most of your good fortune. We talk with all kinds of people here from all walks of life because I want you to see that no matter what your situation, there's always a way to create a life that you're proud of. Hello, everyone. Today we're here with Tanya Lee. Tanya Lee is a master-trained life coach, a former registered nurse, trained sommelier, and devout Francophile. Her company, French Kiss Life Incorporated's mission is simple: to create lives that our 90-year-old selves will toast and say, "Well done, darling." With a chic travel society and online programs, Tanya fuses personal development with luxurious lifestyle to inspire women to live with ease, elegance, and everyday ecstasy. She has worked with Oprah and the IKEA Life Improvement Project and spoken to audiences from Paris and Monaco to the deep south on living a well-lived life, the art of femininity, and creating heart-centered companies. You can learn more at TanyaLee.com. And I invited Tanya to the show because I've had a digital girl crush on her for years. She shares phenomenal insights into just adding more ease to your life and just plain feeling better in a way that's practical and really accessible. I think anyone can learn a lot from her, male or female. I also know that she's overcome a lot to get to where she is now, and she has a lot of really helpful things to share that anyone can benefit from. So thank you so much for being here, Tanya.
Thank you, Rachel. And I have to say that the girl crush is mutual. And I'm so excited that we're finally having a chance to connect and talk about, I think, the issues that are dear to both of our hearts. So thank you for having me.
So my pleasure. The intention behind A Better Life is just to show people that if they have a choice, that they can choose a better life. So in that spirit, I'd love if you could just take a minute to share with us some of the things that you're the most proud of in your life right now.
Oh, wow. Well, you know, the first thing that comes to mind is my daughter. I have a 16-year-old daughter. And, you know, as a parent, just watching her grow up and make mistakes and learn from them and, you know, see her on her journey is definitely brings me a lot of pride. But, you know, outside of being a mom, I'll be honest with you, Rachel, I'm really proud of who I've become. You know, I grew up in the very deep South. And when I look back over my life, I am such a different person than I was, you know, two decades ago. And I like to see my life as like a testament to what's possible for other women. You know, I've overcome a 75-pound weight loss, overcome beliefs that held me prisoner for a long, long time. And, you know, I like to say, if I can do it, you can do it. And so, you know, my accomplishments and the things that I'm proud of are really more around who I am as a person, not so much what I've created or what I'm doing as a living. It's just who I am as a human being.
Mm, that's beautiful. And I know, like you've touched on, you have worked really hard to get to where you are. Can you describe a time in your life when you felt like things weren't going the way that you wanted or you felt trapped? Because I'd love just people to see the progression of where someone can be to where they are able to get from when you choose the beliefs that help you get there.
Yeah, I know. Absolutely. The experience that comes to mind or that moment in time, you know, everyone talks about epiphanies. And for me, it was never like a grand epiphany. It was just day by day realizing more of what I want, what I don't want. But I do remember a particular night in my life. I was working as a full-time nurse, and I was a single mom, and my daughter and I had just moved into this apartment, this very small apartment. I had no furniture. I had a bean bag, and my daughter had a bed, thank goodness, and I had a TV. And so I remember sitting on that bean bag. I put her to bed, and I went and sat down, and I grabbed a bag of Cheetos. Those were my indulgences back in the day. And I was watching ER. I don't know if anyone remembers the show ER, but I was watching George Clooney eating Cheetos out of a bag. I was in such a depressed state of mind, and I totally felt trapped in a life, and I didn't know how to get out. And I remember, you know, thinking like, I would love to have a man like George Clooney. And then I remember thinking, but a man like that would not be interested in me because of who I was being in the world at that time. And about that same time, my daughter calls out to me. She had awakened, and I go into her room, and she's like, "Mom, are we going to be okay?" And it was just like my heart just like exploded. I was like, "Ah, it is up to me to make sure that me and my daughter are going to be okay. And yet I still didn't know what to do. So the next day, instead of coming home and sitting in front of the TV, I decided to take her to the park. And I started to look around and say, you know, even in this time in my life where I'm so down, don't know what's next, there's still beauty all around. You know, I got to see kids laughing and playing. I got to see my daughter, you know, swinging on the monkey bars. And it was like little by little, I started focusing on what was beautiful in my life as it was right then. And because of that mindset shift, I was in a better state of mind. My state of being began to change. And slowly over time, I've landed to where I am now, which is a completely different place. And so the point of that is like, even the little subtle shifts that you make in your life, they lead to beautiful changes over time. And so whenever a client or I'm talking to a friend and they tell me that they're stuck, I always say the reason you feel stuck is because you're, number one, thinking the same things over and over again. And then you're also doing the same things over and over again. So if you want to begin to get unstuck, begin to really be mindful of what you're telling yourself. And then also, you know, switch it up a little bit. Do something different that you wouldn't normally do. And as you do that on a daily basis, you know, you begin to shake your life up a little bit. And I promise you, you shake it up in a very beautiful way.
That's great advice. I love that. Just switch it up. That's such a great story too. I can really just visually, I can see it. When you were there and you decided the next day to go to the park and you said from there things got better, what were some of the choices that you told yourself to be able to just continually be evolving yourself?
Again, it was the little things. So I was overweight at the time. So I remember deciding to put my tennis shoes on. It's such a small thing, but I'm like, okay, I'm just going to put my tennis shoes on. And then once I put my tennis shoes on, I'm like, okay, I'm going to walk out the door. And once I walked out the door, it's like, okay, I'm just going to run a block. And at that time, that was all I could run without, you know, being completely hypoxic. And so I ran a block. And then the next day, I committed to doing the same thing. And again, I think we are so programmed to think that we have to make massive change in our life. And that massive change can be really overwhelming. And so I always bring it back to what can you do in this moment? What are the little decisions that you can make in this moment that will lead to very different results over time? And so it was just a day-by-day choice, a day-by-day choice to look at things to celebrate, a day-by-day choice of looking at who I was surrounding myself with, a day-by-day choice of what am I reading? What am I watching? Are these things in alignment with the woman that I want to be?
So that's one of the things that you decided to do first was basically visualize that the woman that you wanted to be, was it like the woman who would be able to be with George Clooney, or did you have a different picture?
Well, I think my aspirational woman has always been French. I dreamt of Paris when I was a little girl. And I think the things that we daydream about when we're little are a clue as to our best lives. And so for me, it was always the French woman. And I realized, you know, a French woman's probably not sitting on a beanbag eating Cheetos out of a bag. And so I do have a program called Slim Chic and Savvy. And, you know, one of the first things that I do with the women is have them think about, you know, if you were at your ideal weight, if you had your ideal man, if you were in your ideal career, how would you feel? What are your essence words? And begin to embody those daily and let them guide your choices and your decisions. And so for me, I started channeling my inner Frenchie and didn't always get it perfect. I still overate on occasion. I still did things I wasn't proud of. But, you know, she was my guide. She was my muse. And, you know, over time, the more I embodied that, suddenly it's like, that's who I was.
So as you were embodying your inner Frenchie, how did you decide, for example, like the type of people that you wanted to be around?
Well, I'm really big into energy. And so I'm always sensing like the energy of people. And I always want to surround myself with people who call out the best in me, people whose lives I admire, people who have a beautiful, positive energy about them. And so part of that process, Rachel, was learning to really be mindful of what my body was telling me. I mean, you've probably had the experience when you're around someone and you're like lit up, like just their energy. They don't even have to say a word, but you know, maybe it's someone you're standing beside in the coffee shop and you just feel good because you're standing beside them. And equally, you've probably been around those people where it's just like, ugh, there's something about their energy that doesn't speak to the reality that you want to create. And so I just really started tuning into how I felt around people. I started to weed my life of the gossipers, the complainers, the Debbie Downers, and really intentionally focused on the kind of people that I wanted to be in my space. I call it your red velvet rope. And I have a red velvet rope policy for my life. And it's, you know, there's certain things that I want you to, attributes that I want you to have in order to be a part of my world. And vice versa, my friends have that same policy for their lives. And so, you know, once I started doing that, there was a period where I was really lonely because I had surrounded myself with such negativity. When I began to weed those people out, I looked around and like there was no one around. And I think that's a really scary place for many people to be. But it was also a beautiful time for me just to get to know me and to enjoy my own company. And as I did, slowly the right people began to come into my life and continue to this day.
Mm-hmm. So, okay, now I have two kind of spin-off questions off of that because you brought up such a good point. And the first thing I'd love to ask is just how many people at that point when you began all of this were you surrounded by that you didn't love their energy, and how did you get them out of your life? Like, what were the, I guess, action steps that you took to do it in a way that felt good to hopefully everyone involved, but I don't know.
You know, the way I look at the world is everything is energy and like attracts like. And so as you begin to intentionally go about your day, I always say the universe makes those decisions for you. And as I held my energy in a certain space, what I found is that I looked around and no one was really wanting to be around me. It was almost like the decision was made for me because I refused to engage in the conversations. I refused to engage in the gossip. I refused to engage into the negativity. And, you know, one of two things can happen in those types of situations. Number one, the people will either, ugh, I don't want to be around her because she's not part of our, you know, pity party. Or what you may find is that people then aspire to be at your same energy level. And so you require them to pick up their game. For me, it was just like those people who wanted to join me and where I was going, they stayed on board. And those people that didn't, I don't know how it happened. It wasn't like I looked at them one day and said, I'm not going to have anything to do with you. It just like I turned around and they were no longer there. Does that make sense?
That makes total sense. That's such a great thing to just bring to attention. It's just that you didn't have to have any like necessarily boundary closing conversations or anything like that. You just became who you are. And I can totally see where some people would vibe with it and some people would.
Yeah, you know, and it's really interesting. I do remember, you know, having people say, like, who do you think you are? And I think comments like that can trigger people to the point where they run back to what they've known for such a long time. But for me, I just became very intentional of who I wanted to be and holding my energy there. And so I learned not to take those comments personally. Didn't always do it perfectly. Sometimes they hurt. But I just realized, like, that's not where I'm wanting to go. And I don't want to turn back to what I've always known. And so, you know, it was just continually reaching for the beliefs and the thoughts that felt better, maintaining my own intention. And as a result, life began to slowly change in a beautiful way. I'm not going to say it's always been easy. You know, even to this day, there are challenges and times where I can find myself getting into like a negative energetic environment. And, you know, you just go back and you go within and you decide what your intention is and then live from that place.
That's so helpful. So you said the right people started to show up to fill your people that were surrounding you. Was there any time that you tried to reach out to find people that I guess were more and the energy that you were desiring?
Oh, yeah. I'm a big believer, like, you have to show up to engage in life's magic. And so, yeah, I remember being really ballsy and, like, reaching out to people that I wanted to get to know and doing it from a very heart-centered place of, like, you know what? I really admire what you're doing. I want to learn more about what you're doing. I want to learn how I can support you. And so, yeah, there was an active participation in that process. And, you know, as a result, I mean, I've met some incredible like entrepreneurs and philosophers and just human beings, because I was willing to put myself out there and ask the universe for what I wanted, and not just ask and sit back and wait for it to arrive, but actually engaging with it and seeking out those people that I wanted to get to know.
Yeah, I think that's such a great distinction. It's not just about asking, but also starting to take the actions that will get you to what you want.
That's great. Yeah.
That's great. And so you weren't an entrepreneur this whole time, right?
Oh, no. I've never like taken a business course in my life at that point. And even now, like in college, I didn't study business. I was a nurse. And so, you know, it's just been such an organic progression. And when I go back and I try to put it in chronological order, sometimes it's difficult. It was more of an evolvement. The more I embodied who I wanted to be and gave myself permission to follow what I love, the pieces of the puzzle started to fit together.
So do you have any examples that come to mind about like some of the little pieces that you just kind of curiously followed and then they led you somewhere?
Yeah. Okay. So I was working as a nurse, and, you know, as I mentioned at the very beginning of our talk, I grew up in the Deep South, and I grew up in a religion called Pentecostal Holiness. And a lot of people don't know what that religion is, but basically being a worldly woman of any type was a sin. So no makeup, no pants, no jewelry, all the things that I love was basically, you know, they were going to send me to hell according to the religion I grew up in. And I remember I had an uncle, he was an Italian uncle who enjoyed wine. And when he would come to visit, he was the only person in my life that was allowed to drink in our house. And I remember watching his relationship with food and wine and just being so intrigued. But yet it was something that I wasn't allowed to explore. And plus, I was only like 11 at the time. And so fast forward, I'm working as a full-time nurse. And I remember, and I don't remember the exact point, but I remember those moments and my interest in the world of wine. And about that same time, a sommelier school was going to be held in my town. And so I signed up for it. That was like the beginning of where I am now. So I went to sommelier school. And once I was finished, I fell so in love with the world of wine. I put myself out there and I started reaching out to food and wine magazines. And next thing I know, I'm doing food and wine writing and restaurant reviews and creating wine programs. And so that was like the first step in this world that I'm living in now.
So you were just following whatever seemed to feel good to you, huh?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And then I remember another one is that when I was little, again, like the things that you dream about when you're little are clues to like your adult life if you follow them. When I was little, I remember being in the grocery store and I always just gravitated towards Vogue magazine. And I would just flip through Vogue and just be so mesmerized. And so there was something about the world of luxury that I was intrigued by. Now, keep in mind, I grew up in trailer parks. So my childhood was not very luxurious. So, you know, fast forward, I end up in Monaco and I struck up a conversation with a gentleman who happened to be starting the Monaco Luxury Network. And I think because I was so passionate about luxury, even though I knew very little about it, I was very curious and asked him a lot of questions. And a week later, when I returned home, I get a phone call from him and he said, "Tanya, I really feel like you would be an amazing ambassador in the US for what I'm doing." And so he flies me back to Monaco. I end up in the Prince of Monaco's office talking about the world of luxury. And I was like, wow. It's a testament, like if you give yourself permission to follow what you love and to be curious, the universe will truly take care of the rest.
I love that. And that makes me think about, there was a blog post that you had about a woman who ended up on a jet. Do you remember what I was talking about? And then those women took her to an island.
Yes, that was actually one of my society members last year.
Oh my gosh, can you tell that story? Because it is so good.
It is such a good story. So, you know, we talk about this a lot in my work with women. And so the story is that one of my clients just got this inkling that she needed to pack her backpack and just head to a private airport close to where she lived. And she didn't know what was going to happen. She was just really open to adventure. And so she gets there and she starts talking with a couple of women who are about to board their private jet and head to an island in the Caribbean. And chances are they just decided to invite her to come along. And so she ended up having this incredible weekend just because she was willing to plan for adventure and she showed up for it. Now, had she been at home just thinking about it and visualizing it, it probably would have never happened. And I think this is where the law of attraction, it's like the missing ingredient that a lot of people don't talk about. I don't think it's enough just to sit around and visualize it. You must put yourself out there in the world to engage with it.
Totally. One of the things that just keeps coming up in so many podcasts is just that having that core desired feeling, like Daniela Parr talks about, just whatever you want to feel, and then just take the action towards aligning you towards that. So, I mean, what you're saying is just so, it makes so much sense with the woman, and then with you ending up in front of the Prince of Monaco. That's just incredible.
Yeah. I mean, it's stuff that you can't plan. It's stuff that, you know, if you sat down and you wrote out like your 3-year vision, you can't really plan for these serendipitous events in your life. To me, it's more about embodying who you want to be and also knowing what ignites you, what you're passionate about, and putting yourself in situations where you can experience more of that, have more conversations around that, and let the pieces come together for you. It's not as hard as we make it out to be.
That's a great point. And how do you suggest that people kind of figure out what they are passionate about if it's not immediately obvious to them?
Well, I have two answers to that question. One of the illusions, I think, is that passion is found out there. And I tend to think that we are passionate beings. And the more you show up and you bring passion to everything that you do, the more you open yourself up to finding what you are passionate about. And unfortunately, it's heartbreaking that so many women and men, I don't exclude men here, but we are so fixated on trying to fix ourselves that energy is being channeled in the wrong direction. And what you focus on grows. So if you think you need to be fixed, you're going to just grow a problem that you really don't have. I don't think we're none broken. I think we're all beautiful and passionate beings. And so really learning to show up with passion, whether you're washing your dishes or taking your kids to school or, you know, writing a blog post, like do life with passion. And as you do, you'll begin to really notice what brings even more of that to you. And so in finding what you're passionate about, again, think about what you dreamt about when you were a child. What were the things that you fantasized about? And then also being really in tune with your body and notice like what books light you up, what music lights you up, what are the conversations that you could have until the wee hours of the morning? You know, what places just make your heart come alive? And really just start to tap into your body and notice when you feel constricted and when you feel expansive. Your mind will not tell you what you're passionate about. Your body will.
That's a phenomenal distinction. I love that. One of the things you were talking and it made me think about, I mean, one of the things that you're so incredible at is just adding ease into the most stressful situations. And this kind of little bit of a turning gears, but I was just thinking as you were talking, could I just give you some situations that might be stressful to people and see if you could tell me some ways to add ease to it?
Yeah, this sounds like fun.
It sounds like your total wheelhouse. So let's say somebody is at a job that they just hate. They don't like the commute there. They don't like their boss. They feel really stuck, but they feel like they can't leave. How would you help them just feel better about it?
I work with this a lot. You know, unless you change who you are, you know, I always say you can be in a lavender filled in Provence and still be miserable. And so I think that's like a beautiful opportunity for you to become who you want to be in the most stressful of a situation. And so if someone is in a job they hate their boss, they hate the commute, you know, it's a beautiful opportunity to look at what are the beliefs that you have, because it's not the job, it's not the boss, and it's not the commute. It's your perspective on all of it. Because you could take another person and put them in that exact same situation, and they may be in pure bliss. And so you really need to look at what is your belief, what is your perspective, and begin to do the work there. And also look at, like, how are you showing up in that situation? Are you showing up with dread? Are you showing up with anger? Because, you know, you're only recreating who you are. And so begin to show up as the woman you want to be in every situation of your life. It's often our thoughts that make things hard, not the circumstance.
That makes sense. So you feel like if people change their mindset, do you find that people suddenly start that they like their jobs again? Or what are the switches that happen when people take your advice?
I'll give you a personal example because I was in that situation. I was working full-time as a nurse and I hated it. I was always thinking my life would be better one day. Well, you know what? We're not guaranteed tomorrow or the next day. And so I finally came to the conclusion of I'm going to make today amazing. As is, I'm not waiting any longer. And so I began to show up in my job very differently. I began to take exquisite care of my patients. I began to love my patients and my patients' family members. I packed picnic lunches and spread out a blanket during lunchtime. You know, oftentimes we're waiting for our best life instead of showing up and making our life today the best it can be. And what ended up happening from that, Rachel, is that as I changed, people around me started treating me differently. The doctors had more respect for me. So suddenly I started enjoying my job more because I was getting more respect from my coworkers. I started to have patients' families request me to be their family member's nurse for the day. And so I began to become happier because I changed. Everything else around me changed. And had I stayed focused on the struggle and the resisting of my job, I probably would not even have seen that there was a sommelier school that I could join because my attention would have been in the wrong place. What we resist persists. And a lot of times clients will say to me, but Tanya, if I give in and I just make the best of where I am, will it change? And my answer to that is that's the only way it's going to change. Is if you stop resisting, if you're willing to be where you are and you make it beautiful, you will call in more beautiful experiences, more beautiful opportunities. And that's where we've got it all wrong. We think that we have to resist our lives and fight with our lives in order for them to change, when in fact, it's about not resisting, living in that state of ease, making every day as beautiful as you possibly can. And then the change comes in your external world.
I absolutely love what you're saying. I think in this world of personal development, it's so easy to just constantly be in what can we fix mode, which just puts us in this negative vibration, not appreciating where we are. And I just love how you just, it's just beautiful to go and make these picnic lunches in a job that, like, you know, a week ago you hated.
Yeah. My friend Julie loves to say, there's nothing serious going on here. There's nothing to be fixed. And yet, we spend most of our lives trying to fix it versus enjoying it.
That's awesome. What would you say to somebody who right now is a single parent taking care of their kids and wanting to do some entrepreneurial venture-y kind of things? How would they add ease into their life when they feel like they're super busy already?
Well, you're speaking to the choir here because I am a single parent. Number one, be mindful of what you tell yourself, because one of the first things that I stopped doing that changed my life is I stopped saying, I'm overwhelmed, I'm busy, I have so much on my plate. Because think about it. The moment you tell yourself, I'm overwhelmed, what happens in your body? You get out of your creative zone of genius. You can almost feel like your heart rate starts to palpitate faster. And I'm a big believer in that we create time. And so one of my favorite mantras is, number one, there is no hurry. You know, life is unfolding beautifully. I'm going to just take this one step at a time, one decision at a time. When you change your mindset, everything else changes. And so oftentimes people are trying to change their external world and without changing their internal workings and mindset. And so I would invite that woman to consider, First of all, look at what you're telling yourself and look at how you keep recreating that over and over again. And that's where you start. And then you can also begin to look at what are the practical things in your external world that you can begin to work on. You know, I'm a big believer in elegant systems. And so maybe there are some ways that you can systemize your life to give you more space to work on some of these other endeavors that you have. And that's a very broad question, and it's something that I would probably need to work more intimately with someone on. But it always comes back to who you're being and what your mindset is.
Yeah, that's a great point. And do you have any examples of a system that you've created for yourself, maybe that helps give you more space in your life?
I create my year in advance, and I don't create it just from, you know, my business. I create it from a life perspective. So, you know, I know the things that I want to experience for the year personally. I know the things that I want to learn for the year. I also know the business projects that I have. And when you have those systems in place,